It lays the predicate and the foundation for the development of a weather satellite that will permit man to determine the world's cloud layer and ultimately to control the weather, and he who controls the weather will control the world.
Thank God men cannot fly, lest they would lay waste to the sky as they have done to the earth. I've formerly brought attention to this extremely prophetic quote from Henry David Thoreau, an individual who possessed extraordinary abilities of insight and observation, among my favorite authors. One more statement of truth from Mr. Thoreau before I cover the latest frontline news on the most dire and immediate frontline threats we collectively face. From Mr. Thoreau, any man will go considerably out of his way to pick up a silver dollar, but here are golden words which the wisest men of antiquity have uttered and whose worth the wise of every succeeding age has assured us of, and yet we learn to read only as far as easy reading, the primers and class books, and when we leave the school, the little reading, the story books, which are for boys and beginners, and our reading, our conversation, our thinking are all on a very low level, worthy only of pygmies and mannequins. Prophetic words from Mr. Thoreau to understand while the planet is in complete meltdown, with biosystems imploding all over the globe, what do we see on media and amongst our peers and those in society whom we dwell with? Meaningless conversation about sports events and political theater, all absolute distractions from the converging catastrophes that are closing in on us all. This is Dane Wigginton. You're listening to the Global Alert News Hour for December 16th, 2017. This is a commercial-free program brought to you by geoengineeringwatch.org. And those who have helped to keep this program on the air know who they are. And I appreciate them more than I can say. This is a team effort to do what we've done, and I'm grateful to all those that have helped keep me in the front line. I'm very grateful. This broadcast is brought through throughout Northern California on 1670 AM, 104.9 FM, and 105.7 FM. Saturday mornings from 6 AM and Sunday mornings 7 AM to 8 PM. Global Alert News is also broadcast on the East Coast by the PRN Radio Network, 2 PM Eastern Time. Weekly reminder, as always, for those in the Redding, Shasta County area, Orchard Nutrition has informational materials free, not stacks of materials. We can't give stacks of materials to every single individual that comes into the store, but we can give enough substantial material, and in the form of, for example, the commercial DVDs, which can be freely duplicated and shared. If you have a copy, then help us duplicate it, share it, bring attention, the attention of others to what's happening in our skies, what's happening with the lethal vaccinations that are unquestionably damaging our children and us. This is not a hard equation to put the dots together on. Injecting toxic heavy metals into our systems is harmful, period. And we live in a bought, sold, and paid for medical industrial complex with too many people too dependent on that complex to face the truth and to tell the truth and to do the right thing. Horribly corrupt industry. 9/11, climate engineering, vaccination, data, all at Orchard Nutrition for those who will help us share it. This week's announcement of Jim Fair, a staunch ally in the fight to expose and halt the greatest and most immediate threat we face short of nuclear cataclysm, climate engineering, the weather warfare atrocities that are going on in our skies. This week's Jim Fair event is at San Diego, California at the Scottish Rite Event Center, December 15th, yesterday through tomorrow, December 17th. You can find more information on the Jim Fair homepage. The next Jim Fair event, Santa Rosa, California, where the fires have incinerated so much in that region. That's January 5th through the 7th, Sonoma County Fairgrounds, and the week after in Del Mar, California, January 12th through the 14th, Del Mar Fairgrounds. Again, go to the Jim Fair site, find out where each event is, and if you're near that region, attend that event, and you can get free materials from the geoengineeringwatch.org informational booth that's at each of those events, all of those events. Again, our deepest gratitude to the Jim Fair staff and organizers. As we move into the new year soon. We have the power structure rapidly trying to clamp down on the awakening of the population, a population that, for the most part, has been very reluctant to wake up. But how hard are they trying to push back? Here's a headline by multiple sources, many sources. YouTube hires 10,000 staff to weed out, quote, extremist content. What does that mean? It means anything that disagrees with the official narrative. We're there. It's happening. From this headline, Google has announced the latest escalation in its battle to censor, quote, extremist content on its platforms, a covert campaign to censor voices. The company plans to hire 10,000 staffers whose sole job will be tracking down, quote, extremist content that might violate YouTube's terms, which really means the power structure narrative of service, according to YouTube. YouTube stated that, quote, bad actors use the video sharing site to mislead, manipulate, harass, or even harm others. It's, again, this is just an excuse. People who behave like that on the internet are not that hard for YouTube to weed out, but we know there's much more going on, much more going on than that. We know they are suppressing counts on videos that contain critical information. We get messages at geoengineeringwatch.org from individuals who are unable to share our YouTubes oftentimes. This is not everybody, but we're getting more and more of those types of messages. And it's not just us, it's other sites that are sharing credible data as well. This is a internet-wide crackdown. Per The Hill, another news source, the announcement comes after British Prime Minister Theresa May pressured social media companies to remove radical content after a series of deadly terror-related attacks this year in the United Kingdom. And isn't it curious that so many of these terror attacks involved individuals that were already being watched by intelligence agencies, but nothing was ever done? Very useful tool for the power structure, the false flag event, to give them the premise they need to clamp down wherever they need to clamp down. Finishing this report, back in August, YouTube announced it would be taking steps to censor content they found to be, quote, controversial, even if it didn't break any laws or violate the site's user agreement. That's the bottom line, as I stated a moment ago. And while the message vowed to be a part of an effort to, quote, fight terror content online, the move was met with widespread skepticism among YouTubers as nothing more than a veiled attempt to censor speech. And that's exactly what it is. YouTube's punishment for users who express purportedly controversial views is to economically punish the content creator by demonetizing their content and by labeling it not suitable for advertisers. But it's much more than that. If you do not allow YouTube to advertise on your channel, your message, your video does not get shared, does not go out on the news feeds properly. Many ways that they censor. So it's not just about monetizing. It's about getting the information you're trying to expose to the public. It's about having that actually shared, which YouTube is certainly restricting. That's what this is about. Another headline related to this: how government agents troll online to divide and confuse. This is important. I'll get to the dire frontline headlines in a moment, but it's important to understand that we are being increasingly swept under the rug with the data that the public most desperately needs to hear. As the wake-up is starting to occur, now there's massive pushback from the power structure from every direction. Again, this headline: how government agents troll online to divide and confuse. From this report, the real story of online deception isn't about the Russians, although the Russians certainly have their own programs to disrupt and steer online discourse, but rather how quickly the public has forgotten about the U.S. government's own internet troll program. Edward Snowden leaked documents used by the, quote, Five Eyes Alliance of Governments, the United States, Canada, United Kingdom, New Zealand, and Australia. The leaked documents included a presentation about how government agents should disrupt online discourse. When deploying government-sponsored trolls online, the agents will mimic real commenters in order to sound more believable. They gain credibility since people are more likely to trust those they perceive as similar to them. Herd mentality again. If a true conspiracy theory is exposed with factual information, they, the government trolls, invent hundreds of others to obscure the real data. In order for the truth to be lost among the falsities, they invent various levels of, quote, conspiracy theories, from the slightly believable to the completely absurd. Question: how do we guard against undermining causes as critical as the effort to expose and halt climate engineering by researching information before posting and sharing it, by making sure you share and circulate credible data, not just some bogus sensationalized headline that's been manufactured by either those whose job it is to discredit and invalidate causes and movements, or manufactured by those who are primarily interested in gaining personal attention or YouTube views. Be discerning. It's imperative. A boat that's mostly watertight doesn't float. It has to be watertight. Make sure of what you're sharing and circulating. The following headline is from The Nation magazine, but was covered by many sources also, and was certainly connected to Google's recent hiring of 10,000 gatekeepers, perhaps just in preparation for the decision they knew would be coming from the Trump administration and the FCC. Here's the headline. Gutting net neutrality is the Trump administration's most brutal blow to democracy yet. From this report, the Federal Communications Commission voted Thursday to eliminate the First Amendment of the Internet, and in so doing, it delivered the Trump administration's most brutal blow yet to democracy in America. Despite overwhelming public support for a free and open internet. Remember all the transparency Mr. Trump talked about? He's a puppet in the play, like Obama, like Clinton, like the Bushes, like the rest. A puppet in the play, a very useful puppet that may not even realize he's a puppet. But nevertheless, if he was a threat to the power structure, he would already be dead. How long did Kennedy last? 1 week after he drew in the line. Drew a line in the sand with a power structure that's much more powerful now than then. Continuing from the report, the Trump-aligned majority engineered a 3-2 vote to overturn net neutrality rules that have required internet service providers to treat all online communications equally. And in a related move, the commission majority rejected the authority of the FCC to protect a free and open internet. Commission Chair Ajit Pai, the telecommunications industry lawyer who has done Donald Trump's bidding in debates on a host of media and democracy issues, has cleared the way for service providers to establish information superhighways for political and corporate elites while consigning communications from grassroots activists to digital dirt roads. Addressing the American people on the day when the FCC dismissed millions of appeals on behalf of net neutrality, dissenting commissioner Mignon Clyburn said Thursday, "What saddens me is that the agency is supposed to protect you, is actually abandoning you." Pai, Trump's appointee, and his associates have moved to create what former FCC Commissioner Michael Copps refers to as a gatekeeper's paradise, where, quote, our civic dialogue, the news and information upon which a successful self-governing society depends upon, would be further eroded. Telecom and media consolidation have wreaked havoc with investigative journalism and turned political campaigns into a crass reality show and our, quote, news into a bottom-feeding infotainment, warns Copps, who now works with Common Cause on media and democracy issues. Final FYI, Trump's appointee, Mr. Pai, named chairman by President Donald Trump, again, said the 2015 rules of net neutrality, quote, depress investment and innovation. To hell with the truth, that's where we're at. Complete gatekeeping of the flow of information. Here's just one example of omitted facts that taint public opinion in the direction the power structure desires. Consider this headline from last week. This is just an example. Nikki Haley vows to present, quote, irrefutable evidence on Iran deliberately violating international obligations, i.e. UN mandates. The power structure-controlled mainstream media will trumpet this headline over and over without ever backing up the headline with facts. But how many have heard from mainstream media that Israel has violated or broken nearly 100 UN mandates? Americans aren't given those kinds of facts, are they? This is an example of the kind of news that the internet policing will try to cover up while mainstream media continues to falsely demonize, for example, Russia for, quote, interfering with elections, accusing Russia of exposing the crimes of the Clinton crime syndicate, which any honest American should actually want to know. Here's a headline of yet another extreme U.S. interference with democratic processes from last week. For the record, there are nearly 100 such examples in less than 100 years. This is the most recent. From the news site counterinformationwordpress.com. Honduras in flames. The chaos surrounding last week's, this is going back a week, election in Honduras reflects a right-wing consolidation of power in the country, aided and abetted by the United States. It's worth considering the Honduran elections in the context of the Trump administration. Throughout the Clinton, Bush, and Obama administrations, the State Department acted to advance its vision of neoliberal globalization and appeared to grudgingly follow along with the oligarchic neoliberal alliance when it appeared. Now, Trump has hollowed out the State Department and made support for the new right-wing alliance overt. Business as usual, no hiding, all of them, all of these administrations, part of the power structure, period. If that's not visible by now, and for those who still think or choose to believe the false headline, the false narrative that the Trump administration was going to do something about climate engineering, that's absolute nonsense. The Trump administration has known since at least January of 2016 when a former Air Force Major General held a meeting in his home with the top Trump campaign people and the top Carson people with geoengineeringwatch.org materials to address this issue. Not only has the Trump administration not done anything to slow these programs down, they are ramping them up to ever higher levels. And why is that a surprise? From someone who literally represents the military-industrial complex, why is that a surprise? Should not be. Why are so many so willing to simply stand by and allow the walls to close in from every direction? If we in fact lose our ability to communicate freely and openly on the internet, we will truly be flying blind toward a horizon that is growing darker by the day. Though the journals of human history prove that human apathy has always been a part of the equation, illustrated by the proverb, Nero fiddles while Rome burns. What have those in power done to further fortify the complacency and apathy of populations while the noose is tightened around their collective necks? Here's one example, the full ramifications of which cannot be overstated. Here's the headline. This is from multiple sources as well, in slightly different terminology. The data is there. Fluoridation of city water is mass medication. Municipal water treatment plants have commonly added fluoride to the water since the 1950s. Gradually, most cities were persuaded by authorities to follow suit, although a few cities have now removed it from their water by popular vote of a better educated public. Fluoride is generated as a waste byproduct from the manufacture of glass, steel, aluminum, bombs, phosphate fertilizer, etc. In the 1930s and 40s, some of the phosphate operations and other manufacturers were accumulating fluoride in large piles or spreading it in the air from their smokestacks. The growing amount of this hazardous waste was contaminated local fields and water, harming livestock and crops near phosphate fertilizer plants and bomb-making facilities. After the Second World War, fluoridation of city water was introduced in the United States. Remember Project Paperclip and the Nazi scientists that were given a safe passage to the U.S. and put to work, and this is what happened. Where water city fluoridation was introduced in the United States, expanding on the Nazi model. This has since been extended to several other nations. Utilizing some research that suggested it hardened teeth, the proponents of fluoridation worked hard to convince the American Dental Association to endorse fluoride for public consumption through the water supply. It took a few years and creative persuasion to generate that endorsement. Once they had the backing of dentists, the push was on to get city water departments to add fluoride to compounds. Hydrofluorosilic acid and or sodium silicofluoride to their water. This provided a venue to get rid of poisonous waste substances at a profit while accomplishing another objective at the same time. All of this, by the way, all of this fits together with all the other dots that we've gone over in so many programs. What I've gone over in this program today, the retraction of our ability to reach information, the toxic vaccinations, which are absolutely harming us, harming our children immensely, synergistic toxicity with aluminum falling through our air column and in vaccinations combined with fluoride, you get synergistic toxicity, making the combined elements much more harmful overall, unimaginably more harmful overall. And anyone who thinks that all of this is just a coincidence of bad decisions, no. There is much more to what's going on. And the population at this point, if they don't wake up soon, are going to be incapable, cognitively incapable of standing up and doing anything about the collective fate that's about to befall us all. Continuing from this report, the propaganda reason for fluoridation offered by the establishment, again, is that fluoride is said to help prevent tooth decay. However, drinking it is not of benefit to teeth. Overuse of it is actually extremely detrimental to tooth structure as well as bones. It makes them brittle. Mass medication, report continues. Fluoride is so poisonous it diminishes the immune system, interferes with thyroid gland and the endocrine system, impairs melatonin production, kills brain cells, raises blood pressure, increases osteosclerosis, incites cancer, reduces fertility, damages DNA, fosters arthritis, shortens lifespan, and causes molting of the teeth, fluorosis, as well as hardening and fragility of teeth and bones. As stated earlier, all this is in addition to the serious brain problems from fluoride described. Think about this. Think about that. We have societies voting to put this in our water, and we have images online available of people working for water companies in hazmat suits putting this in our water. How completely disconnected from reality and, in fact, their own fate can a society be? This is the road we are on. This is the road the power structure wants us on. So that as the walls close in, the society is incapable of standing up and changing direction. When do we stand up? If not now, then when? Final statements from this report. Fluoride and apathy. Fluoride is known to have various effects on the brain. It fosters apathy and lack of motivation. Exactly what I just mentioned. Similarly, the growing global corporate state bureaucracy had an interest in avoiding vigorous opposition to their policies, particularly in the United States. Fluoride and brain impairment. Fluoride has been found to significantly lower IQ, even to the point of serious mental deficiency in numerous human and animal studies, including a major one in China. It damages the brain of unborn fetuses. Scientists at Harvard University have also detected negative effects of fluoride on the neurological development of children. Why is this a surprise? Continuing. Fluoride contributes to loss of memory, autism, Alzheimer's, and dementia. In addition to reducing brain power, fluoride also fosters calcification of the pineal gland, which can cause disturbances in the personality and impair imagination and creative insight. Final statement from this report. Fluoride is also an adjuvant that accelerates the spread of other toxins in the body. Again, synergistic toxicity. So let's consider this. What are some of those other toxins? Let's start with aluminum, a toxic heavy metal that's not only being injected in the population with every dangerous vaccination they accept, but a virtual toxic soup of heavy metals raining down through the air column from the ongoing illegal climate engineering weather warfare assault. This fallout's contaminating the entire planet and every breath we take. All one has to do is look up and examine even a fraction of the available data, and it is an inarguable conclusion to reach. Climate engineering is real and ongoing, but in our Orwellian society of official narrative doublespeak, where up is down, black is white, day is night, people are trained, conditioned, fluoridated, vaccinated to ignore reality, even though it's closing in on them. Let's get to headlines now. I want to weave all this together with the unimaginably complacent population, with the geoengineering elephant in the room over their head, with the inarguably dangerous vaccinations, fluoridation, now seem in all too many cases cognitively incapable of facing reality. But that reality is becoming almost impossible to hide. Here's a December 13th headline from the Discovery magazine. Quote, "A geoengineered future is downright scary." Yes, it is, but it's not in the future. It's here. Keep that in mind while we're reading this. From the Discovery magazine report, researchers have proposed seeding the atmosphere with sulfur aerosols. And we're not talking about sulfur. We're talking about, or not just sulfur, or aluminum, barium, strontium, manganese, lead. All of these elements are showing up in our lab tests and all are part of climate engineering patents. Continuing from the report, absent fiery eruptions, and they're relating this to volcanoes, by the way, to create the same cooling effect. Volcanoes, and this is what geoengineering was originally modeled on, or so we're told, volcanoes can and do create a short-term cooling effect, but at what cost? It's a horrific cost. They destroy the ozone layer as well and do a lot of other damage to the atmosphere. But when you do it 24/7, ongoing for over 70 years, the damage becomes not only cataclysmic, but omnicidal. But those in the military-industrial complex don't consider that. And I'm asked that question over and over and over. Why would, quote, they do this to themselves? And how many examples have I given over and over from nuclear power plants, which are nothing more now than eventual nuclear volcanoes like Fukushima, triple meltdown, no end in sight, no technology to fix it, to the nuclear weapons, to the fracking, to the chemicals which blanket our planet, 144,000 of them, 2,000 more every year. I could go on and on. Those in power have various forms of psychosis. The common thread is this, and this is right from the psychoanalysis manual, a near total lack of comprehension as to the consequences of their actions, even to themselves. Keep that in mind while I finish this report from Discovery Magazine. If we can't change our behavior, there's another way to control our climate destiny. Think of the hubris in this statement, to play God with the weather. Discovery Magazine continues, one that's received a lot of attention recently is geoengineering, or somehow deploying technology to compensate for the effects of carbon dioxide and other greenhouse gases and bend the climate to our will. Unimaginable arrogance of the human race. Finishing from Discovery Channel report, letting these planet-wide fixes loose on the world could wreak more havoc than they prevent, scientists worry. And the nightmare scenarios range anywhere from large-scale famine to international warfare. Final sentence from Discovery Magazine. Researchers have proposed seeding the atmosphere with aerosols ourselves to mimic the atmospheric aerosol cooling effect from volcanic eruptions. The elephant in the room, over our head, being outlined by Discovery Magazine and countless other sources from academia, and yet the public is willing to ignore what they see with their own eyes. Not just because of fluoride, not just because of the toxic vaccinations, not just because of the aluminum floating down through the air column, but also because of human nature, the herd mentality groupthink, the unwillingness to be separated from the herd by telling the truth. We need to get over that. Anybody who's hiding in the shadows right now and who is aware and awake as to what's unfolding, you have a responsibility to stand up and sound out, to make your voice heard. Do it credibly, do it peacefully, credibly, and effectively. I'll get to more of that later in this program. Here's a three-day-old headline from Popular Mechanics. Congress is looking into a last-ditch climate change solution. 70 years it's been going on, and we're still sold this as it's a proposal, even though it's over our heads every single day. From this report, Congress is considering a proposal to fund research into geoengineering schemes like cloud seeding in an effort to ward off climate change. And why am I so focused on the environment? Why not cover the supposed tax cut, which is nothing more than a windfall for those in power, smoke and mirrors, deception. Why aren't I covering those things, or perhaps the infidelities of Roy Moore and other political theater nonsense? Because the biosphere is the bottom line. I say that over and over. The rest is theater and distraction, arranging deck chairs on the Titanic. The ship is going down by the day, and it's not centuries off, it's not decades off, it's here now. We are so perilously close to hitting the wall at full velocity. What we can do now, we cannot stop the collapse that is already unfolding. You could shut all forms of human activity down right now, and we would still hit the wall. We're through the guardrail. You can't go backwards. You can't hit the brakes on the automobile after it's crashed through the guardrail and free-falling to the bottom of the canyon. And that's exactly where we are. What we can do is try to strap in, face what's just happened, and change the flavor of collapse to wake the population up or give them the dots they need to wake up and connect once they're forced to wake up. And that still must be done. From this report, again, from Popular Mechanics, climate change is an increasingly big problem, and the more we learn about it, the worse matters seem to be. Just last week, a study was published that showed, quote, the most severe climate change predictions are the most likely to come true, which means the future might be worse than we thought. In the face of this extreme threat, extreme solutions might be required. Think how absurd this is. I've said this over and over for over more than a decade. It's not as bad as Al Gore stated. It's far worse than anything Al Gore said. Al Gore is just another prop in the play, like Trump, like the rest, doing his part, making people hate him so much that even flying in the face of a planet in complete meltdown, we have so many people beating the global cooling drum, or the even more absurd coming ice age. And that fits right into the disinformation that I outlined in the beginning of this program. Total and utter disinformation. And if you buy into that disinformation and you think you're helping the cause to expose and halt climate engineering, you're sadly mistaken. Sadly mistaken. That's exactly the narrative the power structure wants you to recite. Climate engineers trying to mask, cover up, and hide the total disintegration of our climate with chemically nucleated winter cool downs. I'll get to that more in a moment, but think about what you share before you share it, and think about the absurdity of publications like Popular Mechanics pretending that climate engineering is just a proposal when it's above our heads for anybody who's even slightly awake to see every single day with mountains of data to back that up. Final statement from Popular Mechanics. One of the most extreme possibilities or solutions to climate change is geoengineering, altering the planet to reflect more heat into space or minimize the effects of planetary warming. Does it take a scientist to figure out if you fill the atmosphere with particulates to reflect some of the sun's incoming thermal energy, you're also going to trap that energy along with destroying the atmosphere and contaminating everything on the ground? Does that take really scientists decades to figure out? No, it doesn't. But only for a population that's trained to ignore their sense of reason and to accept whatever the, quote, scientists say, scientists given their license of truth from the power structure that they represent. Final statements from Popular Mechanics. These kinds of projects are risky as their results are impossible to fully predict and could be difficult to halt or reverse. Can't reverse it. Can't reverse the damage already done. Remember, the geoengineering card has been played. There is no way out of the corner that we are in. We are going to hit the wall. But they could be our best shot at keeping climate change to a minimum. That's why one member of Congress is trying to get scientists to really look into it. Think how absurd that statement is. Let's look into geoengineering. Data, including Senate, congressional, presidential documents, prove it's been going on for 70 years, and we have this kind of facade being carried out by publications that many people think tell the truth. Let's get to headlines. Because I want to cover more of the lies that are happening and the truths that we're not being told and that we're not going to perhaps soon have any access to at all. Hurricane Maria's actual death toll may be 17 times higher than the current official count. And again, absolutely, positively, no question, that cyclone was manipulated and steered. No question. Look those posts up at geoengineeringwatch.org and see the animations we captured at the time that storm was making landfall and see the radio frequency manipulation of those storms and decide for yourself what's real and what's not. And we can speculate as to the agenda behind that manipulation, but the fact that manipulation occurred is absolutely beyond dispute with patented hurricane suppression technologies that started 70 years ago. Historical record. U.S. military, 1947, Project Cirrus, 70 years ago, hurricane manipulation. Let's move on to headlines from the front lines of biosphere collapse, which is the bottom line. Nothing else matters, and so few people seem to be willing to accept that fact and face it. Sierra National Forest, this is from multiple sources, by the way. Sierra National Forest, hardest hit by tree mortality now at 129 million statewide. Today, December 11th, USDA Forest Service announced that an additional 27 million trees, mostly conifers, died throughout California since November 2016, bringing the total number of trees that have died due to drought and bark beetle infestation to a historic 29 million trees. Now, due to drought and bark beetle infestation, why is there so much drought? And why are the beetles so easily taking out the trees now? Nobody mentions climate engineering. The toxic compounds, saturating soils, changing soil pHs, toxifying root systems, destroying the ozone layer, scorching the trees from the top down, covering the trees with a toxic incendiary dust, creating the drought to begin with. And nowhere is this more true than the west coast of the U.S. and Spain, Portugal area, and other parts of Africa. Absolutely, positively, direct result of climate engineering operations, and no official scientist will say a word about this, because not only is it a bad career decision, it may be much worse for them still, but that doesn't excuse their willingness to toe the official narrative. They should either tell the truth or shut up and don't tell lies, don't deceive the public any longer. And if you're a whistleblower, find a way to contact us at geoengineeringwatch.org, because our top attorney works for a whistleblowing firm. We will find a way to protect you if you reach out and contact us. And if you don't do that and you take your last breath knowing you could have made a difference but didn't, how will that feel? I want to know how that will feel and how many of those types of people are there, towing the official narratives for their paychecks and pension while the planet goes down in flames, completely decimated from many forms of anthropogenic activity, but most specifically, most immediate threat, climate engineering, greatest threat we face short of nuclear cataclysm. Another headline from the website The Big Wobble: as California tackles its worst wildfires in history, reports claim nearly 1 billion dead trees in California and Colorado alone. Now, this is where the numbers are, again, very underreported. That's why we need the internet, and it's being taken away from us. In totality, since the start of modern civilization, we've lost 3.4 trillion trees. 3.4 trillion. Think about that. 55% of Earth's trees are gone, and the other 45% are dead and dying. How long do we think we're going to be here with no trees? No trees, no people. Very simple. No trees, no people. Not only are the forests not absorbing carbon and releasing oxygen now, you can't smell forest in the forest anymore. Doesn't smell like forest. Why not? I can, as I stated last week's program, it's hard for me to even go in the woods now because it's suffering so horrifically. It's hard for me to look at. Just like the film of the polar bear I mentioned was incredibly difficult for me to watch. But I make myself look at those things because it fills me with a fury that I can only deal with by facing this issue head on and doing everything I can to put a hole in this dam of insanity. And if all of us work together, that's all we have to do. Put a hole in the dam. We don't have to tear the whole dam apart. If we put a hole in the dam, the power structure will never be able to stop the flow. Never. Once the public wakes up, there will be a paradigm shift. Our problems are not over by any means, but there will be a shift. It will change the flavor of what we face, at least. And that's worth fighting for. So to finish my point on why the forest doesn't smell like a forest, because again, the trees are not respirating. Their stomata, their respiratory ports are closed for many of the reasons I already mentioned. So they're not absorbing carbon, they're not releasing oxygen, and the forest no longer smells like forest because everything is dying in the forest. Another headline. This is from businessinsider.com and many other sources. There's so much CO2 in the atmosphere that planting trees can no longer save us. And as I've stated in former programs, planting trees in many regions can no longer be done. Not the saplings, because they won't make it through the summer. None. My success rate planting trees, and I could plant 300 a day and did with plugs. If you know what those are, you'll understand why you can plant that many in a day. 300 with a 95% success rate. Now, none make it through the summer. None. Zero. So you can't plant trees in many locations anymore because they won't live. So add that to this headline. There's so much CO2 in the atmosphere that planting trees can no longer save us. From this report, recent reports indicate that we simply can't grow enough trees to capture the necessary amount of CO2 that would help us meet the goals set by the Paris Agreement. And for those who, again, buy the disinformation that CO2 is wonderful, the more the better, people like, well, there's lots of people. I don't want to start naming names. There's lots of them. That is not the truth. CO2 is necessary, yes. Too much, not good. It means out of balance. The oceans are acidifying incredibly rapidly. The planet is warming incredibly rapidly, and CO2 is a part of that problem, which then helps to trigger methane, as climate engineering is fueling all of this. In fact, let's go back to the forests and the burn down of the forests. And as I've covered, and you can look this up at geoengineeringwatch.org, I have multiple articles on this. The single greatest causal factor for forests burning to the ground is not just climate change. It's climate engineering, single greatest factor. And I document that very thoroughly and scientifically with verifiable data. Climate engineering, the elephant in the room that's never mentioned, single greatest causal factor for the massive burn downs that are happening all over the globe. Finishing from the CO2 article, in truth, we would have to cover about how many trees we would have to plant to have any effect on the CO2. In truth, we would have to cover the entire contiguous U.S. with trees just to capture 10% of the CO2 we release annually. Try to conceptualize that. How out of balance this equation is. And when you alter the energy balance of the planet, and we have completely disintegrated the energy balance, you enter a runaway climate shift, and that's exactly where we're headed. And climate engineering, again, which is weather warfare, which is biological warfare as well, nothing benevolent about climate engineering, but climate engineering in the attempt to confuse and divide the population on the true state of the climate to cover up what they could for as long as they could, is fueling this fire. So think about this equation. we would have to cover the entire contiguous United States with trees just to capture 10% of the CO2 we release in 1 year. 10% of 1 year's emissions, the entire country, nothing but trees. That's how radically out of balance this equation is. And we are going to hit the wall because of that out of balance scenario. There's just not enough room on the planet to have the farmland it takes to feed the world, plus space to plant the necessary number of trees. In other words, final statement from this report, many of us would starve if we tried using trees to solve our emissions problem. And then there's the problem of, as I stated earlier, trees aren't growing anyway. And that's going to get worse, not better. Another headline from CBC News in Canada. Some forests aren't growing back after wildfires, research finds. How many times have I stated this on the record? Now we have some acknowledgement. Why? Not because CBC News in Canada wants to tell the truth, but because they can't hide the truth any longer. From this report, climate change, frequent fires mean some forests may never be the same. Bigger, hotter wildfires are ravaging forests and burning under the ground. It's because these fires are burning so hot, it's creating sterilized soils, hydrophobic soils. Nothing grows back in those soils. All of this is connected, and so many roads lead back to climate engineering, because on a warmer planet, if it was just warmer, without a destroyed atmosphere, without contaminated soils, we would have forests in many of these regions thriving, not dying and burning to the ground. There would be more rain, and the rain would not be toxic. The ozone layer wouldn't be destroyed, and we would have forests that were trying to at least compensate for the increased CO2, but now we don't have that. Climate engineering is largely to blame on that particular point. This study adds to evidence that amid climate change, some forest landscapes, including those in Canada, can change dramatically after being burned. The new U.S. study looked at 1,500 forest sites affected by 52 wildfires in five states in the U.S. Rockies between 1985 and 2015. It found overall decreases in the amount of tree regrowth since 2000, drastic decreases compared before 2000. No surprise. You can't just turn this off. And I want to recap what geoengineering is doing and how radically it's fueling weather whiplash scenarios. A recap of what I reported last week. Winter Storm Benji, again, a reminder. Snow in Corpus Christi and New Orleans, while at the same time, record highs in Florida pushing 90 degrees, while at the same time, 60 degrees plus in Alaska, 25 degrees warmer than New Orleans. Weather whiplash fueled by climate engineering and chemical ice nucleation for weather modification. Another reminder, I'll continue to bring this up. There can be no credible conversation about climate change without discussing climate engineering. No credible discussion about climate engineering without discussing chemical ice nucleation for weather modification. Headline from the UK Daily Mail. Get ready for a hot Christmas. UK is still battling the snow, but forecasters say the last blast of Arctic air will sweep away this weekend with 13 degrees C heat on the way. Temperatures will rise to 13 degrees C in the week up to Christmas, days after falling as low as negative 13 degrees C. Climate-engineered weather whiplash with chemical ice nucleation for weather modification. Yet another example. A headline from the Washington Post. The most accurate climate change models predict the most alarming consequences, study finds. I've been over this before, over and over. It's not as bad as we've been told. It's exponentially worse than we've been told. Climate engineering making it worse still, far worse still. And guess who did this study? Ken Caldera, geoengineer Ken Caldera for the Carnegie Institution for Science in Stanford, California. Ken Caldera is the epitome, like David Keith, the epitome of power structure disinformation. Absolutely without conscience, without morality, without honor, they will say whatever they're told to say. Ken Caldera, who in his own words, which we have recorded at geoengineeringwatch.org, stated his job for the government, when he worked for the government at Lawrence Livermore Laboratories, was to find ways of seeding clouds with pathogens to infect the populations below and find ways of creating what the public would perceive as natural disasters like tidal waves and earthquakes. If you want to hear Mr. Caldera state what he did in his own words, search geoengineeringwatch.org, Ken Caldera, and you'll find that recording. You can hear him state it in his own words. So we have people like this, like Ken Caldera, like David Keith, helping to cover the tracks of the climate engineers and propagating the official narrative of the power structures. More headlines. This is from MSNBC and Associated Press. Alaska sees record high temperatures in December. Again, as I stated, while it was snowing in New Orleans and Corpus Christi, record high temperatures in Alaska. Another headline, this one from the Washington Post. This city in Alaska is warming so fast, algorithms removed the data because it seemed unreal. This is what we have, manipulation of data. This is what created the false global warming hiatus that never happened, which is now proven on the record. All a manufactured lie to convince those who didn't want the truth to begin with that there was nothing wrong with the planet while it was at the same time free-falling into an abrupt climate shift, which is exactly where we're heading, which negates and makes moot all the theater in every way, shape, and form that we can imagine we're being fed on mainstream media and that the public is following and paying attention to while the planet implodes. Computer manipulation, that's what was acknowledged in this headline. Another headline from physorg.com. Warming Arctic is, quote, new normal, will affect us all. Again, far worse than we've been told. Not as bad as we've been told, but far worse. From that report, a rapidly warming Arctic where temperatures are rising twice as fast as the rest of the planet is, quote, the new normal, and the melting ice is triggering environmental changes that will affect the whole world, warned a global scientific report Tuesday. This is last Tuesday. Last year, winter sea ice fell to the smallest extent on record. That's at both poles. Look it up. Don't believe me on anything I state here. Please don't believe me. Look it up and find multiple credible sources. Don't just choose to believe what you want to believe. Psychoanalysis states the hallmark of a healthy mind is an unyielding willingness to face the truth, no matter how dire. Be in that category. Don't be one of the head in the sanders. Be in that category. We are free-falling into an abrupt climate shift. Climate engineering is making it worse, not better, and we do not have much time. Another headline, this one published in The Guardian last week. Arctic permafrost is thawing faster than ever, U.S. climate study finds. This is all from last week. Understand that. All from last week. Permafrost in the Arctic is thawing faster than ever, according to another report that found the Arctic seawater is warming and sea ice is melting at the fastest pace in at least 1,500 years. Another headline. Unprecedented collapse of the Arctic Buford Gyre. This is from multiple sources as well. Most significantly, the Arctic Buford Gyre collapsed. This unprecedented event in the late 2016, early 2017 occurred with rapidly declining sea ice, letting ever-increasing numbers of stronger storms from the Atlantic to enter the Arctic, bringing moisture and more warming. A vicious cycle of cascading feedbacks. Remember that statement. And that's what I've said over and over, program after program. Triggering feedback loops like methane being released in the atmosphere. And geoengineers now trying to address that with doubling down on even more insane programs. Project Lucy and Project Alamo microwaving the atmosphere with opposing microwave frequencies to try to degrade the methane, doing unknown additional damage to the atmosphere. Levels of insanity heaped on more levels of insanity. Another headline. Also multiple sources. Summer madness arrives in Australia as temperatures hit 113 degrees Fahrenheit in Sydney. Weather whiplash everywhere. It's going to get far worse very rapidly. And for those who still believe in so-called renewable energy, that it will save us. And I'm on renewable energy. I have 3 wind turbines, I have a huge solar system, and I have a hydropower plant. None of which work very well, by the way, thanks to geoengineering. Less sun, less wind, less rain. Overall, remember that word, overall. Doesn't mean that we don't have deluge, doesn't mean we don't have scorching heat, doesn't mean we don't have radical wind in places, but I'm talking about a planetary overall average. Not very good for renewable energy. This headline, climate change could devastate wind farming. It's also reduced solar output. Again, all forms of renewable energy radically diminished. And let's consider what the government knows about this. In fact, and I've stated this on a previous program, but I want to bring it up now because it's appropriate. In 2009, I spoke in front of the California Energy Commission. In front of the full board, I presented data to the state's top scientists on geoengineering. And at that meeting, the purpose of the meeting was because the California Energy Commission recognized the state was losing 20 to 40% of its rainfall from particulates of unknown origin that was then in turn affecting the state's ability to produce hydropower. At that meeting, the California Energy Commission approved the purchase of a $200,000 spectrometer to allow the state to determine the chemical composition and origin of these particulates that were in our airspace. again, of unknown origin. That purchase was approved. That meter was purchased from Scripps Institute. And to my knowledge, it's never been seen or heard from since that meeting. Never. Swept under the rug. Every fire that begins to burn that could expose the climate engineering insanity is put out. It's absolutely stomped out. And they know at the state. I've been told by congressional reps, and I've repeated this in the past, quote, I've been taken aside and told this while I was in the Capitol. We all know what's going on. We don't know what to do. My personal meeting with Gavin Newsom, Lieutenant Governor Gavin Newsom, who could not argue any of the data that I presented in his office to him and his top aide, nothing. They've done nothing and now will not talk about the issue at all. This happens over and over and over. The political system is bought, sold, and paid for from the bottom up, and all those participating in that system are a part of the criminal climate engineering cover-up, and they should be held legally and morally accountable once we expose this issue. So I want to go over this. How's the weather doing? How's our skies doing? And anyone who looks up again with any sense of consciousness should be shocked and alarmed at the now completely transformed atmosphere and aerosol cloud cover we live under. Anyone that's even slightly awake should be gravely concerned at the unimaginably extreme weather whiplash that's being fueled by the climate engineering insanity. Climate engineering, destruction of the climate, bottom line. Climate doesn't work, we're done. Trees die, we die. Ocean dies, we die. Animals die, we die. Insects die, we die. Very simple. All of it's happening. The threats we face are existential. Anyone who has the slightest regard for the future of their children, of all children, and for the web of life as a whole needs to look up and wake up. Now consider this point, which must always be remembered. When the biosphere implosion can no longer be hidden from the public and the illegal actions of the power structure begin to come to light, like the lethal climate engineering omnicidal experiments, the power structure will not only orchestrate many more distractionary terrorist events, but will eventually trigger global conflict as a last option. Here's a headline from last week. This one also from multiple sources. Russia rebukes U.S. for sowing, quote, regional instability as military drills begin. The latest round of military drills involving U.S., Japan, South Korea began their latest set of tracking drills on Monday. This was reported by DW in Germany as well. We are doing military exercises on the borders of countries that we then blame for behaving poorly. What would we do? And when will the American population stop behaving so hypocritically and understand that our military industrial complex is completely and totally out of control all over the globe, occupying some 150 countries all over the globe? Empire. This is empire. Nothing less. I want to state this from Henry David Thoreau, a final statement from Mr. Thoreau. Incredibly wise individual. I know of no more encouraging fact than the unquestionable ability of man to elevate his life by a conscious endeavor. Where is our consciousness to face reality and deal with it? And I want to couple that statement from Mr. Thoreau with this statement from Mr. Thoreau. When it comes time to die, let us not discover that we have never lived. Doing the right thing, because it's the right thing to do, should be motivation enough for us to take action toward the greater good. Not because we're guaranteed a specific result or outcome. If such a guarantee is the only motivating factor for an individual, that individual is not truly committed to the greater good. Rather, such an individual is only committed to their own personal paradigm. We must always remember that we're a part of something bigger, a part of a whole. We don't own our lives. We didn't give our lives to ourselves. Our lives are a gift. Do we then not owe our lives to the whole, to the greater good? What greater meaning could a life have than to fight till the last breath for the greater good? And those that are willing to take up this torch should make every effort to wake others effectively and efficiently. Credibility is the key. And sharing credible visual data is paramount. Check the homepage of geoengineeringwatch.org for our most effective and recent fact and photo awareness raising materials, including free downloadable links for printing materials locally. Also on the homepage of geoengineeringwatch.org are detailed instructional links on how you can help to turn the current suicidal direction of the human race, how you can do your part. Prioritize. Remember what matters in life and what doesn't matter. Remember what you are a part of. Remember why you are here. Make your voice heard for the greater good while you can, while it can yet make a difference. Until next week, this is Dane Wigington with geoengineeringwatch.org.